Ryan Reynolds here for, I guess, my 100th Mint commercial. No. I mean, honestly, when I started this, I thought I'd only have to do like 4 of these. I mean, it's unlimited to premium wireless for $15 a month. How are there still people paying 2 or 3 times that much? I'm sorry, I shouldn't be victim blaming here. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/save. Whenever you're ready.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
Hey, I'm Candace Lim.
And I'm Nadira Goff. And you're listening to ICYMI.
In case you missed it.
Slate's podcast about internet culture.
And Nadira, I would ask how was your weekend, but I have a good guess of how it was. I don't know. Maybe you have a surprise for me?
I mean, my weekend was just okay for obvious reasons. But I do have a story, an anecdote, a not-so-blind item, a Dumois sighting to report on this podcast today, if you will.
I will. You got me. I'm hooked in. Let's hear it.
Okay, so I was going from home, Philadelphia, back to New York City on Saturday night. I was just home for 36 hours for a little family thing. And I'm at the 30th Street train station in Philadelphia. Yeah. I get there very early because there was a gap in the local train schedules. It doesn't matter. All you need to know is that I'm at the train station about an hour before my train is supposed to leave, which means that when it's time to line up to get on the train, I'm very, very close to the front. I'm second in line. There's a couple in front of me. I'm number 2. And who should walk up to me and say, hey, is this the Northeast Regional train to New York? If not, the Alec Baldwin. And truly, I saw him walking up to me and I was like, wow, that guy looks a lot like Alec Baldwin. But I had my headphones in and, you know, I live in New York. I don't expect to see people in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And I'm like, great. He looks a lot like Alec Baldwin. He's like, hey, is this the right train? I nod and I'm like, yeah, I smile. Very jovial, very nice, very cordial person. He goes to the front where the sort of train attendant person is. And the first thing that that person, the train attendant, says out of their mouth is, hey, Mr. Baldwin, how are you doing this evening?
Wow.
And I was like, oh, okay, so that's definitely Alec Baldwin. And he's like, which way do I go to kind of just very quickly go into the business class area? Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, well, the train's going to be coming in this way. You can walk that way or you can use the back stairs. I didn't know that the 30th Street Amtrak station of Philadelphia even had back stairs. I said, back stairs? Backstairs where? And you can tell that the couple in front of me, and I would say maybe like only 2 couples deep behind me, had recognized that we were talking to Alec Baldwin. And I proceeded to immediately text every single person I knew. And then I messaged Sam Adams and Katie Classic, who are both 2 Slatesters who are based in Philadelphia. I was like, hey guys, I just ran into Alec Baldwin at the 30th Street station. Why perchance was he here? Because one of my friends had a great theory that why he was going back to New York was for SNL, because he might play Trump on that episode of SNL, right? Because it's post-election, et cetera. And I was like, that makes a lot of sense, but he's cutting it really close. And also, why is he in Philadelphia in the first place? We found out through online internet journalism that he was in Philadelphia for something called Monster Mania Con.
What?
And I think that's all we need to know. Like, I don't think either of us will benefit from knowing more about what Monster Mania Con is. Shout out to all the people who went to Monster Mania Con. Shout out to Alec Baldwin. But I am just here to say he looked healthy. He was very sweet. He was very nice. He was very personable. And he really was, I don't know, he sort of expertly rode that line between, like, I'm famous and I don't want people to know that I'm here, but also I don't have a cap down low on my head with sunglasses on. Like, he was very much, it was very clearly Alec Baldwin, but he was also very discreet and calm while also being personable and nice. And I was just kind of like, okay, wow.
I love this. I love this because it was unexpected. But can I one up you a bit? Because I guess I too was near a celebrity this weekend.
Okay, please one up me. And what celebrity?
This weekend, I went to Erewhon, you know, very upscale LA grocery store. I'm never there. I truly am never there. But I had a friend who really wanted to try a smoothie there, specifically one of the guys from the Dodgers. They just won the World Series, Jack Flaherty. He has a smoothie there. It has like spirulina. It's very banana-y, and she really wanted to try it. But let me set the scene, okay? It's 2 p.m. Very busy, lip filler wall to wall. And we are like punching straws into our smoothie. We shared one. It was $21. I look over. I see these other girls waiting for their smoothies. And why do I see Davina from Selling Sunset? Davina behind me in line, near feet away from me. She's waiting for her smoothie. She's like on her phone. She's like makeup free, gorgeous. And my first question was like, excuse me, does anyone else realize that a Selling Sunset reality star is in our presence?
Mama, a Davina behind you. Okay, Candace, did you consider going up and talking to her, or at the very least a Dumois blind item? Like, what was your course of action here?
Okay, good question. So here's the deal. I was very cognizant of a few things quickly. The first one is girl to girl. We know what it means when another girl is out on a Saturday afternoon in public, no makeup. And I was like, no matter what happens, I'm not going to ask for a picture. If anything, I'll just be like, hi, Davina, I love you. By the way, a few years ago, my teammates, they like bought me a cameo, and it was you telling me your favorite Starbucks order. And it like really meant a lot to me. And it was the pandemic. Thank you so much. Like, that was the most I was going to do. I didn't, though, because something weird happened. I like drank my smoothie. I turned around. She was gone. So could have been a delusion, could have been a ghost. But 6 hours after I saw her, I did wonder if I should like re-download Instagram just to DM Dumois, just so I could say, spotted Davina from Selling Sunset at Erewhon in line for a smoothie. And Dumois would obviously respond, likely place for her to be. But what is very funny is that, Nadir, do you ever feel like the presence of someone important or famous walking into a room, and then like everybody's body chemistry changes a bit?
You can feel it. You can absolutely feel it.
Yeah, like your atoms move over a little bit. What's so funny is I'm so sorry, but I did not feel this way at all. When Davina's ghost popped into my Erewhon, I like no one noticed her. And it made me a little sad because I was like, I did not end up going up to her because once again, I lost her. But I was like, you know what? Knowing what she was probably going through on that Saturday, she probably appreciated it. And I just really enjoyed having the story so I could bring it to you.
When Davina's ghost popped up into my Erewhon has to be one of the best sentences that has ever been said on this show. Thank you for telling me that story, Candace.
Oh my God, and thank you. I mean, look, we've had celebrity sightings, smoothie sightings, train sightings, but what about some internet sightings? Because on today's episode, Nadir and I are playing High Speed Downloads, where we each get 60 seconds to rant about an internet story we are obsessed with. Let's take a break. When we come back, Nadira and I will tell you everything you need to know about the backlash hitting a slippery icon and a certain Broadway doll who lost quite a few fans in the court of public opinion.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. That's why they offer a tool called Auto Quote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies, so you save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices.
Whether you're listening to ICYMI at double speed or regular speed, you'd probably love to know how you can get more cash back on your credit card. Either way, we'll slow things down a bit so you don't miss anything. Discover automatically doubles all the cash back you've earned on your credit card at the end of your first year with Cashback Match. That means with Discover, you could turn $150 cash back to $300. It pays to Discover. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Hey there. If you love our podcast, then maybe you should consider subscribing to Slate Plus to immediately unlock bonus episodes. Plus, you'll access ad-free listening across all your favorite Slate podcasts, including bi-weekly bonus episodes of this show. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts by clicking Try Free at the top of our show page, or visit slate.com/ICYMI+ to get access wherever you listen. And we're back. Nadira, we are about to play our first round of High Speed Downloads. You've done this before, but for those who haven't, High Speed Downloads is a game where we each have exactly 1 minute to explain some internet hijinks. And I guess I'm going first.
Yes, indeed. So, Candace, what are you going to be telling me about for your first High Speed Download?
I am going to be telling you about Nicole Scherzinger possibly being a Trump supporter.
This is incredibly exciting because you started that sentence with Nicole Scherzinger and I was like, oh, I'm totally in. And then you ended that sentence with something I wasn't expecting. And now I need to know more. I need to know everything. So here we go. Your time starts in 3, 2, 1.
So on November 5th, Russell Brand, the controversial British comedian who you may remember divorced Katy Perry via text seconds before she went on stage, posted a photo of himself smiling, holding a red MAGA-like hat that says, "Make Jesus First Again." Nicole Scherzinger, who you may know as the frontwoman of the Pussycat Dolls, commented underneath this post, "Where do I get this hat? Praying hands heart emoji. Why is this a big deal?" First off, Nicole is kind of in her rebuilding era. Okay, she is in the Broadway show Sunset Boulevard. She plays Norma Desmond, and it's like really good, apparently. But she's in the Tonys conversation. People are like, is Nicole about to beat Audra McDonald in Gypsy? So Nicole's having a great year. Then the election happened. She comments this and people are confused or shocked or disappointed. They're angry because it's like, Nicole, are you a Trump supporter? Here's the deal. First off, Nicole historically has been very religious. There is a chance that she wanted the hat because of like the Jesus thing in 2016. She was like, I almost didn't do the Dirty Dancing remake because my character gets an abortion. Then someone posted a screenshot of Nicole liking a Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Instagram from 2 months ago. It's a clip of Tucker Carlson and Russell Brand on stage. Russell Brand is not wearing shoes. And that's what I wanted to say about that.
Whew. I have, unsurprisingly, a lot of thoughts. But before we get to those, Candace, you get one more sentence.
Nicole did apologize. She ends up deleting the comment underneath Russell Brand's Instagram post. She then posts an IG story a few days later, and she says that she did not realize that her comment could be interpreted as, quote, politically related. And then she continued by saying, quote, I believe that the posts I engaged with were about encouraging people to choose love and faith, putting Jesus first. I think that the reason this whole thing is blowing up is a bit twofold. Possibly three. The first being, even though Nicole has always been quite openly, publicly religious, I don't know if people were associating her with Russell Brand, who is quite horrible, right? Has right-wing political views, was accused of sexual assault by multiple women as recently as last year. I don't know if people associated her with Trump. Could use the same description. And while a lot of celebrities have been caught liking something they shouldn't, it was that like overtly supportive, enthusiastic comment that proved that this is not Shannon Sharp being like, oh, it's an accident. This was like absolutely her. And I think her fans are rightfully mad because on top of being a front runner for the Tony, you know, the community that has been rooting for her has been the queer community who are both within Broadway and those who are outside of Broadway who have just like been really supporting her revival since the Pussycat Dolls days. And so it just sucks. Doesn't help that The View defended her, okay? Apparently a few of the co-hosts, they talked about this and they were just kind of like, this is about people having high emotions online post-election, and she should definitely still get nominated for the Tony. I mean, I don't know if you're a Tony Awards person, Nadira. Do you think this affects her chances?
Oh, that's a good question. I am a Tony Awards person, but good. I'm not in the sense that I kind of have a good idea of how the Oscars and the Grammys work.
Yeah.
I don't know how the Tonys happen. Like, I don't know how outside cultural pressure or changes affects the voting process there or anything about the voting process there. But I think that it would definitely make a win for Nicole Scherzinger at least fraught in public opinion. My question is, do you think that she's telling the truth when she said, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, I didn't realize I thought this was just about Jesus? Or do you think that she is a Trump supporter, at least a right-wing constituent?
This is a very good question. I mean, I think the RFK Jr. Instagram liking doesn't help, because another part of me was like, is she weirdly just like friends with Russell Brand? Like, before Russell Brand became absolutely detested, he was kind of hanging around, palling around with people who, like, you know, were like good people, quote unquote good people. Anyway, I don't think it was an accident. And I think her apology is just kind of her way of trying to get the Tony win. And I'm not even talking about Nom. She wants to win this so bad. And it's just like, you know?
Yeah. And here's where I come in and say that you're absolutely right. Like, I, a Pussycat Dolls stan. Stan. Those ladies made hits on hits on hits that are still hitting. They still slap. Yep. You couldn't get me to say I dislike the Pussycat Dolls unless you paid me millions of dollars. That like, truly, I love them. And that show that they had that was very much emulated after Diddy's Making the Band. Yes. I forget what it's called, but it was basically like the search for the next Pussycat Doll or whatever. Mm-hmm. That show truly just implanted into my brain. Like, it will never leave me. What I'm saying is, I am a Pussycat Girl zone. Like, I love them. And I feel as though Nicole Scherzinger, for the entirety of her career, has been very underappreciated and overlooked as a vocal powerhouse and as someone who is just inherently talented. And I think that fans of the Pussycat Dolls have overwhelmingly been in support of her and this agenda to, like, get her the recognition that she deserves. And to watch it all maybe possibly fall apart, I don't know. A part of me is like, do we know too much about celebrities these days?
Yeah. It just makes me sad, because I'm kind of like, we have seen shades of the colors you may be. And also, you put together One Direction.
We owe her such a service. And I'm like, did I need to know? Did I need to know? Oh, gosh, my support of her was so unwavering until this moment. And now I have to contend with all of this other stuff that I just didn't really want to contend with.
Look, Nadira, I feel like we shouldn't stay here too long. So I think it is time to move on. I'd love to ask, what is your first high-speed download of the day?
Candice, for you, I'm going to give you the rundown on the latest turn in Mudang story, which is... the massive Mudang backlash.
I'm scared and ready. Okay, here we go in 3, 2, 1, go.
So we all know Mudang. We all love Mudang, our Thai pygmy hippo queen who has been taking over the interweb waves. The interwaves? Anyway, Mudang is a prophet. Why? Because she accurately predicted the U.S. presidential election. On the Monday before the election, the crew at the Thai zoo that she's in offered our sis two fruit and veggie platter cake things. They kind of look like edible arrangements in the form of a mock birthday cake. They're actually very pretty, but that's not the point. And they said, in Thai, Kamala Harris or Donald Trump. Mudang waddled on up and chose Trump, while Mudang's mother chose Kamala. The zoo posted a follow-up tweet in the voice of Mudang that says, translated via Google, I chose Trump because the dragon fruit pieces are bigger. But you know what? Mudang ended up being right. And after the election, the memes started rolling in, some giving her kudos that were like, just so we're clear for this election cycle, Mudang won and Seltzer zero. But then there were other more vitriolic tweets, like one that has almost 400,000 likes that just says, and fuck that little hippo too. And another that says, Mudang, are you ready to be deep fried? And another that says, me and Mudang's enclosure, and attaches a video of a girl shooting off an assault rifle into a lake? Question mark. But my favorite is a quote tweet of a pop-based tweet that says, Mudang has accurately predicted the U.S. election, and someone else responding, predict a salad next, fatty.
Okay, Nadira, please give me one more sentence.
I think one thing that I'll say is that I love this show, I See Why Am I, because I think it gives us a fun platform to talk about jokes. And every article that I read about this seems to take it super seriously. It could be a text translation thing or just the fact that they are taking it seriously. But there's one from USA Today that's a totally fine explainer. But the headline is Democrats turn on Mudang after she accurately predicts Trump's presidential win. And it's like, no, they don't. No, they don't. They are just joking on Maine. They do not actually want to deep fry an innocent animal that isn't even an American citizen. But something I did love was the backlash to the Mudang backlash, that is full of funny tweets that are like, stop being mean to Mudang, sobbing emoji. It's not her fault that she can predict the future. She isn't even an American citizen. Uh-huh. And predicted does not mean endorsed. Stay away from my girl. And a tweet accompanied by that meme of Cosmo from the Nickelodeon animated kids show The Fairly Odd Parents screaming at the lead character Timmy Turner. And in all caps, the caption is, Mudang is an animal and cannot comprehend politics. I don't know. It all made me laugh during a time where laughs were sorely needed.
I love the tweets that you pulled. There is so much rich text here. Let's start with the fact that I now want to threaten my enemies by saying I'm going to deep fry you. And I will be making TikToks caption deep fry this person. And they will say to me, okay, Jeffrey Dahmer, let's calm down. Let's calm down.
Also, the specificity of the one that had the meme of the girl shooting an assault rifle into a lake attached, because Mudang, a hippo, the enclosure includes like a mini lake type, bog type swamp thing. And so to find a meme of a woman shooting an assault rifle specifically into a lake, like for no rhyme or reason, I have to assume she was trying to maybe kill an alligator or something. Like, I truly don't know what she was doing, but for no rhyme or reason, into a lake is the type of hyper specificity that I love in my meme tomfoolery.
Yeah, because it makes you think. It's a thinker.
I mean, it's got levels.
I think the USA Today headline is so funny because I almost imagine what happened is like an internet culture person like wrote it and they were like, ha 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 ha. Isn't this so funny? They go to sleep. They wake up and all of a sudden it's like, yeah, so the politics guy had to do the overnight. So this is the headline he chose. And it's just like, okay, see that next to like what really happened? Let's not do this.
It's also so funny because when we talk about this word Democrats to identify a group of people, right? I always think of it as literal politicians. If someone says the Dems or the Democrats did this, I'm thinking AOC was in the trenches, right? So when I hear that headline, I'm thinking, okay, maybe Biden or someone is like, screw this pygmy hippo, you know? But it's actually just people on Twitter. It's just people on Twitter. And I think that this is actually one of the markers of Mudang's just total pervasiveness in the zeitgeist and in the culture and the internet sphere, is when massive events like this, real life events, can happen that have effects across the globe. And a strong portion of the response is just all pertaining to basically a meme.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know, I guess I'm always looking for reasons to say, hey guys, look, the monoculture isn't dead yet. And I think between this and the Timothée Chalamet lookalike competition, also birthing other real lookalike competitions all over the world this weekend, I think that the monoculture isn't dead and Mudang shall live forever, and that there will always be joy in the discussion about Mudang and the responses to Mudang just living her hippo life.
Yeah, I mean, look, I will say one thing, which is that a good meme is relatable at its core to the common man. And I think the moment you said that Mudang, quote unquote, predicted but did not endorse Trump, and Mudang's mom selected Kamala.
Hey.
I think a lot of us really looked inward and said, so that's my Thanksgiving, because we are out here canceling votes of those within our houses. And I think, therefore, Mudang's mother, we see you. Mudang's mother, we see you.
We see you, a champion of the people.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't know about you, Candace, but I do think that as enjoyable as it has been, this is maybe enough election-related conversation for today. Mm-hmm. So can we take a hard pivot?
Absolutely. So let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Brian Jordan Alvarez and why he keeps dancing on your For You page. We'll be right back. Listening on Audible helps your imagination soar.
No matter the genre you love, you can be inspired to imagine new worlds, new possibilities, and new ways of thinking. I've recently fallen in love with the Rivals series by Jilly Cooper. The audiobook is fantastic, and it really takes you back to that like 1980s Cotswolds vibe. Find the genres you love or discover new ones with the best selection of audiobooks, podcasts, and Audible originals all in one app. Audible makes it easy to be inspired and entertained as part of your daily routine without needing to set aside extra time. I love listening to audiobooks while driving because it feels like you're hanging out with an audio companion. There's more to imagine when you listen. New members can try Audible now free for 30 days with your first audiobook included. Visit audible.com/ICYMI or text ICYMI to 500-500. That's audible.com/ICYMI or text ICYMI to 500-500. This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. There's joy in finding the perfect gift for the ones you love. But it can be a challenge. Saks.com's holiday gift guide makes it easy. Whether you're surprising your heart to shop for sister with a Chloe bracelet bag or gifting your partner a memorable scent from Gucci, at Saks.com, there's holiday inspiration for every personality on your list. I love using Saks.com because it is clean, easy to use, and so fun to scroll around for inspiration. I'm currently on the hunt for a really nice winter coat, and I'm also looking to put together some fun holiday looks, especially with all these Christmas parties coming around the corner. Now, thankfully, Saks has me covered because they have everything my friends have been begging me for, from Le Labo candles to Jo Malone London perfumes. And while I'm there, I might as well throw in these really cute Michael Kors boots I've been dying to gift myself. Saks.com's hand-picked guide can help take the stress out of the holidays. Add instant cheer to your home with some bright decor. Find gifts guaranteed to bring joy to everyone this holiday season at Saks.com. That's Saks.com for the ultimate holiday gift guide and all the shopping inspiration you need.
This episode is brought to you by United Airlines. When you want to make the most of your vacation, book with United. They're an airline that cares about your travels as much as you do. United is transforming the flying experience with Bluetooth connectivity, screens, power at every seat, and bigger overhead bins to help fit everyone's bag. And with their app, you can skip the bag check line, get live updates, and more. Change the way you fly. Book your next trip today at united.com.
And we're back. Okay, Nadira, it is just me ranting to you for the rest of the episode. I feel great about this.
Me too. I always love hearing you rant. So please remind me, what exactly is your last high-speed download of the day?
Finally, I am here to talk about Brian Jordan Alvarez and his dancing TikToks.
I'm so excited because I love his dancing TikToks. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's do it. 60 seconds on the clock, starting in 3, 2, 1, go.
Brian Jordan Alvarez, further known as BJA, is the creator and star of the FX show English Teacher. It's a great show. He plays an English teacher. You might know Brian because he's an internet star. He made the YouTube series The Gay and Wondrous Life of Caleb Gallo. Before he was an actor, you might have known him from the Will and Grace rebooted Megan, the horror film Megan. I don't know if maybe his show is under threat of not getting renewed for season 2, but for the past 3 weeks, BJA has been posting the same TikTok every single day. It is him dancing in like a public space, gym, airport, outside his apartment in WeHo, to one song, the same song, and that song is Breathe by the band Years and Years, led by Ollie Alexander, who was in that show, It's a Sin. This song, it came out in 2015. Guys, that was almost 10 years ago. But the sound is a remix. It starts with an iconic scene from the Gilmore Girls episode where Kirk makes a short film, and the sound starts with Kirk saying, I love your daughter. What do you have to offer her? And he says, nothing, only this. And then he breakdances. In the BJA TikToks, Brian always does the same dance move. He lifts up his leg. He takes off his shirt. He kind of makes you ask, what are we? And BJA has now made over 38 TikToks, same move, same song. And at first, he wasn't doing it to like boost streaming numbers for his show. But then people would comment, fine, I'll stream English Teacher. And he was like, thank you. And you might be asking, is there a connection between him and the song? No, there's not. No, there's not.
38 TikToks is bananas. So I didn't realize it was that many. But before we continue, Candace, what's your bonus sentence?
I don't have the stats from Mr. Hulu about whether his TikToks are indeed pushing numbers for English Teacher. But I will say that one of these TikToks has literally more than 10 million views, and I would love to play it.
I love your daughter. What do you have to offer? Nothing. Only this. What's that supposed to be about, baby? Girl, free up your mind, stop acting crazy. You know I give it a good love.
Is he in the airport?
Yeah, so I will note one thing. In that TikTok, he is not taking off his shirt, which I actually feel like if he took off his shirt in an airport, it would be weird, right? It would be weird.
Yes, absolutely. Please don't try that at home.
Yeah. I want to add a few things. The first one being the comments under these videos are sometimes like, this made me watch all 7 episodes of English Teacher and you hypnotized me. There was one comment that I saw that was like, wait, why are you hot? And that killed me. Because we don't ask why enough. You know, we don't ask why enough.
True, I guess.
And they're right, he is. But the second thing is that, look, this is not the only song BJA has done this to. He has been making multiple similarly formatted TikToks to the song That's So True by Gracie Abrams. And I'm not going to say that he made Gracie Abrams' career. But let's just say there may or may not be a positive correlation between his shirtless TikToks popping up on my For You page and streams of that song. But Nadira, let me pause. Have you seen these videos? Because at first I thought this was just like a me thing because I love English Teacher. But then I would see TikTok comments of people being like, I see these every day. And this is Adult Cocomelon. And I was like, oh my God, same.
Adult Cocomelon is great. Right. I hired that person for SNL. I have seen this. So I guess the context to this for me or from me is that I've sort of been off TikTok recently just because I've been busy in many other spheres, mm-hmm. election coverage, a whole bunch of TV coverage, like watching Rivals and all of these other things. So it's been a minute since I've actually clocked in and logged onto TikTok. But I have seen, I think, one of these maybe via Twitter, actually. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very delightful. I didn't know the full context, though, until now. I didn't really know that it was a staple of his content and that he has made many a video very similar to this. But I would also like to say that this is like Adult Cocomelon.
Yeah.
It's just like very mindless, close to brain rot, but not in a way that's very interesting, very endearing towards Brian as a person and as a creator and as a comedian. And I think not enough people are willing to sort of be on the internet trenches to promote their own show like this. They're not willing to use these sort of new methods and these memes, brain rot or not, and really full tilt, you know, like send it and do just wacky stuff to get people to watch their show or at the very least to know who they are, right? To get their own name out there as a creator or leader of a show or a production. And I so admire his just constant online-ness, like the fact that he has always created for the internet and maybe will never stop creating for the internet. And there's something about his relationship to the internet for me that's just so charming and lovely and endearing and very funny. And I love to see him continue it in this way that also confuses people. I love when people intentionally confuse other people.
Yeah, I think he feels the same way. The New York Times wrote an article about this very TikTok, like this very TikTok that he's been doing. And Brian told the reporter that it was kind of interesting that he used to have this huge internet career with the hopes of one day getting like a mainstream acting role. Now that he has like a mainstream acting role and a show, he's now going back to the internet to promote that thing because he knows that he has a lot of viewers on one platform that could convert to the other. And I was like, that's really interesting. And here's the other thing. You've probably seen a lot of people kind of like compare English Teacher to Abbott Elementary, which like, first off, so different. And I love both immensely. But I will say there is something special there about the fact that Quinta Brunson, also internet person, goes mainstream. And then remember in the first seasons of Abbott, she would like go on Twitter every night and either like live tweet or she would like have these back and forths with like Bolu Babalola about like about like New Girl. Like there is something there. There is something there. And I think her, Quinta, and Brian, they're smarter than freaking Apple TV. I'm sorry, I'm going there. They're smarter than the people running Hollywood. Because I'm not going to say this wouldn't happen, but maybe people would watch Disclaimer if Alfonso Cuarón, okay, was on TikTok shaking his ass. Just a thought. Apple.
Oh, I love that image. I think that you're totally right, Candace. And I think that you're tapping onto something that I haven't actually thought about, but is absolutely correct now that I hear you say it, which is we obviously, I mean, ICYMI as a show exists, right? It's basic to say that we as a society have moved more into the online space for content creation, for information dissemination, for all of these things. But I think that we are having this new wave of creators who are of the internet. And because they are of the internet, they more deeply understand how to promote their shows on or through the internet. And they understand, they do not underestimate how powerful of a tool that is in a way that traditional Hollywood tends to sort of underestimate. And I think that this is another, again, not to bring it back to the election, but like this is a part of the reason why Brat was being talked about on CNN, right? Is because you have this sort of traditional media and traditional entertainment spheres that are still kind of confused about the power of the internet and of making meaning and establishing something on the internet and establishing a presence there. And I think that you're really onto something where I hope that we'll see more creators of the internet like Issa Rae, like Quinta, making shows that become mainstream in these more traditional senses, but still smartly promote them through an online space or sphere or way, because they know and they understand how powerful and how important and how useful of a tool it can be.
And Nadira, I just hope that by me showing you that TikTok, that your phone heard it and that your phone went beep, bop, boop, boop, downloaded TikTok without you knowing. And you're like, who's that? You turn it on. First thing you see, Ghost of Davina at Erewhon. And you're like, oh my God, next, BJA. Next, you walk down the street singing that song by Ali Alexander. And if that happens, please call me and let me know if Alec Baldwin is somehow also there too.
We can only pray.
Okay, that's the show. We'll be back in your feed on Saturday, so definitely subscribe. That way, you never miss an episode. Leave us a rating and a review in Apple or Spotify and tell your friends about us. You can follow us on Twitter at @ICYMI_pod. And you can always drop us a note at ICYMI@slate.com.
ICYMI is produced by Sierra Spragley-Ricks and Candace Lim, with production assistance from Alexandra Botzi. Daisy Rosario is our senior supervising producer, and Alicia Montgomery is Slate's VP of audio. See you online.
Or at the 30th Street train station.